When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
You're not going to be living on a private island and driving a Lamborghini, making an extra $2,000 a month, but an extra $2,000 a month really can have a huge impact on your life. Nick, you've been able to do this without having a lot of rental properties. What does your portfolio look like today?
Six, single family dwellings, and then I've got one duplex. And then with the possibility, I'm going to hopefully close here in May on a house. We got a contract on a house from vacation, which would be a short term rental for us. But it's the ninth door.
Not counting the property that Nick's going to be closing on right now, after all of his expenses, Nick is profiting $2,000 a month. And what's really great is that that number is only going to go up over time. Nick is focused on paying off his mortgages. So once he doesn't have those mortgage payments, he's going to have more cash flow every month. Of course, rents are also going to go up over time, so that'll add to his bottom line. And Nick is also going to get that short-term rental up and running, and that's going to add more profit. So you can really see how that $2,000 can really snowball into a lot more money. So on the show today, we're going to talk about how Nick got started buying rental properties by accident. We'll talk about his strategy to pay off his rentals. We'll talk about how he dealt with a couple of really big expenses and how he didn't let that knock him out of the game. Joining us on the show today from Henderson, Kentucky, is Nick Chaskowski. We'll take a really quick break to thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Nick. It's a lot of work to find a really good rental property. And when you actually find that property, you want to make sure you're working with a lender that can get that loan closed. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of loan programs, and she can find something customized to you for your situation. If you want to find out more or you're ready to get started today, just go to RidgeLendingGroup.com. That's RIDGE. LendingGroup.com, NMLS 42056. Chaley has a special limited time offer just for our listeners. Mention Rental Income Podcast, and she will credit you $250 at closing.
Rental Income Podcast.
Nick, tell me a little bit more about your rentals.
So we have eight doors, seven properties. Five of those doors are located in Paducah, Kentucky. There are three single-family homes that are three bedrooms, one and a half baths. And then we have a duplex that's also in Paducah. It's more of a house with a garage apartment, or a two-car garage with an apartment above it. And then we have three properties located in the Evansville area, Henderson, Kentucky. That's Henderson, Kentucky, Evansville, Indiana area. Those are all two-bedroom, one baths.
Is it hard having properties in the two different areas? Like, does it make it more difficult for you to keep track of everything?
Well, I've learned that through the process of this journey into real estate investing, I've learned that you have to have good people around you. And I'm very fortunate for the person that I have down in Paducah. Cindy Shue is her name. She's a realtor down there. She's actually the person that sold one of the original homes we had down there that we sold during the height of the peak of the sales here recently. But she manages those five properties down there. And then the good part about this is that it's kind of a family thing too. My son, he's a realtor in Evansville, and he manages the three local properties for me here.
Okay. So really all the day-to-day work is really done by your managers, and you really don't have to get too hands-on day-to-day with the properties.
Yeah, not really. Unless there's something that's major, you know, if there's a capital expense that needs to be taken care of, you know, something that's like a hot water heater or, you know, something that's would be, you know, a high dollar amount, that would be something where I'd have an input on. But as far as the day-to-day stuff and collecting rents and that kind of thing, I don't do any of that. I just get a check, which is
I love it. Yeah, that's the best. So now when you were buying your properties, did you use regular investor loans to buy the properties?
Two of the properties were 10-year ARMs, and then the others were 5-year ARMs.
Okay. But
the fortunate for me is I'm getting those paid off ahead of time because of the I'm trying to snowball all my payments, but I only have just doing the math in my head real quick. 1, 2, 3, 5. I have 5 properties I have left to pay off.
So is your goal to get everything paid off?
Yes, absolutely. The goal is to, you know, being a math teacher, that's what I do during the day. I'm a school teacher during the day. And my goal is to have everything paid off in about 7 to 8 years is my goal. And so, you know, if I continue the process we're doing, I'm just, you know, as soon as I get one paid off, I use that Ramsey effect and snowball it into the next one and then work on getting it down and going into the next one.
So are you just basically taking all the profit from the properties and just using that money to pay down the mortgages?
Yes, sir. That's correct. I just, whatever extra we have each month, after expenses, I'm turning around and just putting right into the one property I'm focused on at that
Okay.
time.
So you focus on one property, get that paid off. And then once that's paid off, then you're producing even more profit on that property. And then you're taking all that money and applying it to the next mortgage that you're going to attack.
Yes, sir. Yeah. The next lowest balance. Yes.
Awesome. Do you also kick in extra money, like money you save from your job?
Yeah. So, we just throw it all in together. I feel like that's kind of what we do. Mm-hmm. We put all the money in one spot and then that extra money from the job would go into it as well.
Okay. Yes, and correct. How many have you paid off so far?
Of the 7 properties, we have paid 2 off.
For the first couple of properties, you were living there and then you turned it into a rental. Did you kind of stick with that strategy of buying properties that you would live in?
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's kind of one of the standards that we use when we buy our properties is, and I didn't realize this, you know, just listening to your podcast in particular, you know, I didn't realize that people graded properties, but our standard was that I'm not buying a house unless we would live in that house as a family. Hmm. And so with that mindset, we've used that all the way through up until the point where we're at now, is to have that gold standard. I guess you would call those, you know, for us in these areas, I guess you consider them B type properties, maybe B plus type properties.
So you've got good tenants. Do you do anything special to keep the tenants so that you minimize your turnover?
Yeah. One of the things we did this past year was during Thanksgiving, we provided all of our tenants with Thanksgiving dinner.
We got them
gift cards to the local grocery store. That way they could actually, instead of us buying a turkey and then putting it in a freezer and it, you know, maybe not being able to fit what their needs were, we just figured we might just get them a gift card. And so we got them a gift card to a local grocery store and took care of them that way. It was kind of a neat idea.
That's a great idea. You know, that really, I think, it makes the tenants feel like they're appreciated and, you know, hopefully that'll cause them to renew when their lease comes up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, let's take a look at your numbers here for your portfolio. So when you add up the rent for all of your rental properties, what does that come out to be? How much do you collect every month?
We collect $64.50 each month.
Okay. So $64.50 coming in rent, and then you've got a few mortgages left. So if you add up all your mortgage payments, how much are you paying every month for your mortgage?
Ballpark about $2,000.
Okay. And does that include taxes and insurance?
No, it does not.
Okay. And how much is that?
That's about $1,000.
About $1,000 a month. Okay. So you've got $64.50 coming in. You've got, about $3,000 in expenses. So you've got $34.50 left over. Now you also have property management. How much does that come out to be?
They're 10%. So it's like $645 a month.
$645. Okay. Now, budgeting for repairs, I mean, this is always tricky and everyone's got a different way of doing it, but how do you budget for expenses that might come up?
Well, we have an emergency fund that we've kept at a certain amount. And with that amount, we use that money. But normally, if it's something that's small or minor, we're just using the extra income per month that's left over. And if not, then obviously I'm taking that money and putting it into the mortgages.
Okay. And for the emergency fund, do you add to it every month, or do you just keep it at the amount that you're comfortable with? And then
that's what we do. We keep it at a comfortable amount that we're, and then if we get anything above that, we're not keeping it there. We're just putting it right into the mortgage.
Okay. So then if you have, say, a $600 repair and you end up taking $600 out, you'll just replenish that from the rent.
Yes, that is correct.
Awesome. Okay. Now, have you had any like really big expenses? I think, you know, one thing that, you know, maybe some newer investors are scared of, and, you know, something that, you know, even I think about from time to time is, you know, what if a huge expense happens? Have you had anything really big happen?
Yeah, we had a sewer line. Well, you know, we had a, first it was a clog in the sewer line. And so that led to finding out that there was a tree growing in the sewer line. It was an old clay tile. And so we had to update it to PVC piping. And that was a good amount because it was right underneath the driveway. So we had to literally take up the driveway to get to the sewer line to replace the sewer line. So that cost us a good bit of money.
Wow. How much was that?
It was right around $6,500.
Wow. You know, that just kills me. You know, it's like, it's one thing if you spend $6,500 on a property to make it better. But in this case, that money you spent isn't going to help you get more rent. I mean, no renter is going to pay more because there's a new sewer line. So, like,
no, sir.
Does that kill you? Like to spend the money in that way?
It does. But the nice thing is that I like the fact that it's a capital expense. So in turn, it actually can be written off on taxes.
That's true.
So I can catch it back down that end.
That's true. Yeah, there's always a tax benefit to this stuff. Now, the other thing that is kind of a backstop for major expenses is insurance. You know, you never want to make an insurance claim because the insurance company is probably going to end up jacking your rates up at some point. But have you had to make any big insurance claims?
Not at this point. The only time I had to make an insurance claim was with the two properties in Evansville. And this is just coincidental, but in the month of June, we had some severe weather. And the neighbor had a tree next to one rental, and it came down on their house, literally crushed the house, but the tree also hit the top of our house.
And so,
So we had to replace the roof, and insurance easily covered all the damage to the roof. And there was some damage to the ceiling. I guess the branch actually got to the ceiling, but that was minor damage. It wasn't major damage, but we got a new roof out of that deal. And that was like in last June while I was in Vegas on vacation. We got the phone call. I was like, wow. But it was kind of nice because my son took care of a lot of it for me. And then about a month later, another storm came through, and a tree at my other property in Evansville fell on the house. And ironically, you know, I contacted the insurance company again and made the exact same type of claim, and they paid for that roof too. So wow. I literally got two brand new roofs on two properties this past summer.
Was it a hassle dealing with the insurance company, or did they pay?
No,
up
they were
right
really
away?
Smooth about it. Honestly, awesome. they came out, sent out the adjuster, did the work, gave us an idea what it was going to be expected to be, what needed to be fixed, reached out to a local construction company, and they took care of it for us. And it was a real easy deal.
Okay. All right. So you've got the insurance claim it there to deal with that stuff, and then you've had the big sewer line expense. What about little expenses? Like, do you have a lot of little stuff that comes up from time to time?
I mean, like, we had a couple months ago, we had like a leak in a pipe, and was wondering where it was coming from, and we had to have the plumber come out and fix. And then we had a toilet that wasn't working right, so we had to get it taken care of. But outside of those minor, you know, it's just minor stuff that you do at your normal, like you do at your, the house you live in. Like,
yeah.
And that's one of the ideas behind it, is that we're going to take care of our tenants, like as if they're our own, like they're family. Like, mm-hmm. we want them to be happy with what they're living in, because we want them to feel like it's their home.
Right.
And so we're going to make sure we take care of it the right way, just like we would our own home we live in.
Right. Okay. Okay. So back to your numbers real quick. So after we take out all of your fixed expenses, you're at $2,805 per month in profit before any repairs. If you were to put a number on, say, on a typical month, or maybe if you even averaged it out over a few months, how much do you think you spend in repairs?
If I average it over the months, I'm guessing here, but it's probably maybe $600-$700 maybe.
Say per month.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So you're easily profiting over $2,200 a month from your properties.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, that's really cool too. I mean, when you think, you know, you've got the tax savings on your depreciation, and you're not paying Social Security tax on the rental income, that $2,000 you make on rental income is actually a lot better than making $2,000 at a job.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to feel like, you know, I'm learning as I go, but it's such a nice thing to have this passive income that, you know, back in 2008 when we first got started in this, I had no clue what was going on, but it's really nice to have that passive income coming in every month.
Yep. So now tell me this, as someone that's been doing this now for a few years and has been very successful with this, do you feel that people should be scared if people are thinking about investing in rental properties and they maybe are afraid that bad things are going to happen or that they're not going to make money? Do you think people should be afraid?
That's normal. Like I can speak from experience last week. So we went on vacation down to the Gulf Coast. Being school teachers, we had spring break last week. And I've been eyeballing this area for quite a while to try and find a second home for ourselves. And so we found a property we liked quite a bit at the beginning of the week. And then so the whole week, I'm having this feeling of, do I really need to do this? Is this going to work out? And I'm thinking to myself, it's a second home, but at the same time, I'm going to use it as a short-term rental, which I've never had any experience with. And I'm saying to myself, really, do I need to do this? Is this something I want to do? Do I want to take on this payment? Can we afford this? Now, granted, in the back of my mind, I know we can do it, but I still have that feeling just like anybody else would. And so just because it's, you know, just because I'm a person that has other properties doesn't mean that you don't get that feeling. And that's just a normal feeling that anybody's going to go through when they make a big purchase.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It can be scary. So tell us about this property you bought.
So I got a contract on a house down there. It's in a area called Pass Christiane, Mississippi. It's about 60 minutes east of New Orleans, about 20 minutes west of Biloxi. It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, about 2 blocks off the water.
That's great. That's awesome. So are you planning on using this and also Airbnb-ing it?
Yeah, I'm going to use it as a second home for retirement. My wife is definitely going to retire at the end of next school year. And then I'm just going to keep teaching until I decide I'm ready to stop. But we're going to use it for the family. Matter of fact, family and friends for that matter. And then whenever we're not using it, we're going to be using it as a short-term rental Airbnb it through a local property manager down there.
Nick mentioned earlier that his son, Zach, helps him with his rental properties, and his son is actually a realtor in Evansville, Indiana. If anyone is looking to buy or sell in that area, reach out to Zach. I've got his contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode417. And one benefit that he gives his clients is access to a free moving truck if you need that. Again, that's rentalincomepodcast.com/episode417. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast today. If you're enjoying the show, one thing you can do that would really, really help us is to leave a 5-star review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It takes 2 seconds, and it really means the world to me. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast today. I will be back with a new episode on Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.